Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today's Friday, December 14th. We're back with you, getting ready for the weekend. It is overcast, Danny.
Yeah, it looks like shit.
What happened?
I don't know.
It doesn't look like anything, really. Not sunny, not rainy.
Mm-hmm.
Just somewhere stuck in the middle like a fart in your ass. Yeah.
So this is not a clue.
Yeah, hold on. You can't talk yet.
Not yet. Just sit there and be quiet.
If you're watching Facebook Live, you know we have a guest. And if you're only listening, you can tell we have a guest. But we'll bring him on in just a second, as is customary on this show. And so you can save up all your notes and everything, and then we'll bring him on later.
I will not say
if you want, that's okay, but you just can't hear you.
I can, kind of.
Yeah. He's eager to talk. We'll bring on in just a second. We need to catch up on a couple of things. So, if you guys are listening and you want to see us today, we're on Facebook Live. You can go to LA Talk Radio's page right on Facebook and see us there. And, So we had a conversation. You kind of bummed out and everything. We're not going to get into details.
No.
But are you okay? I mean, are you in the mood to talk about anything else? And
what do you mean?
Stuff
like
that.
About life?
Yeah, about being on the show, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm good.
You're not like...
You know, I check my emotions
completely
at the door.
Shocked. Yeah. You want it louder? Down a little bit. Okay. Is that better? Awesome. All right. We blew his ears off.
That's a good thing, kind of.
Yeah. Do you have any big plans for the weekend?
No. I just went to Redbox this morning and got like 5 DVDs.
Oh, okay. So you're prepared.
Yeah.
Well, that is plans for the weekend.
Yeah.
Plans not to do anything.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
What movies did you get? Anything good?
Smallfoot, Peppermint. What else did I get?
Smallfoot, Peppermint?
No, Peppermint's a movie.
Oh, okay.
It's like her whole family gets killed.
Oh, wow.
And then
how
she,
wonderful.
Like, trains herself and then kills them all.
Yeah.
It's probably what I would do if someone killed my family.
Sounds like fun.
Smallfoot is like a Disney animated movie.
Oh, okay.
Then I got, I don't remember.
Never mind.
Yeah.
All right.
But they were 4 good ones.
Yeah.
I watched Equalizer 2 last night.
Oh, really?
It was so good.
Really?
It was almost as good as the first one.
Oh, wow.
And they're definitely doing a third.
You waited for it, yeah. You waited for it, so there it is, right?
It's on Redbox.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what movie I started watching. I've been watching a lot of movies and stopping in the middle. The downsizing movies kind of like didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, no. No one even talked about that ever.
Yeah.
Sorry, Sam.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you shouldn't even bother.
I know.
Like, you didn't even finish Why? Jurassic.
I know. Why am I
You started
doing this
downsizing
to myself?
And didn't finish Jurassic. Ooh. That says quite a lot.
Right?
Get it together.
Well, I don't know. I just find different movies and I start watching them and then I don't know what the hell. I do have plans for the weekend because I got to sell all my shit,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I'm going to have like a moving sale and everything. I saw like not feel like it, you know?
Yeah, that sucks.
But what can he do, you know? So I'm going to have a friend help me and stuff because I can't organize it in my mind at all.
Yeah, no. I mean, it gets overwhelming too.
Yeah, that's too much shit, you know? And I went to the doctor finally for the sciatic nerve pain.
Like, you
I
went
have.
To the doctor?
I went to the doctor.
You didn't just call them?
No. I actually walked in. I said, fuck it, you know. They're not calling me back. I'm going to go there.
Yes, you should have. Weeks
so
ago.
I did. And, apparently I do have a sciatic nerve problem, which sucks. It goes down your whole leg.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to bend over. And I haven't learned how to get into bed yet, so every time I do, I lift it the wrong way, and I scream for pain.
Oh, that stinks.
Yeah. So she says it could last as long as 3 months, so we'll see. It came right at the time when I need to move, right?
When you're going to be in a car for like 2 days.
Yeah, and move and carry shit.
That's awful.
Yeah.
My sister had that for like, I think, a couple of months after her pregnancy.
Yeah.
And then she gets it randomly from time to time.
Yeah.
Like this sharp shooting pain.
Yeah.
She's like down for the
sucks,
count.
Sucks, man.
Mm-hmm.
Sucks. And yeah, so that's it. But I mean, I was sitting there thinking the worst because all my limbs have been hurting and everything. She hardly addressed that.
Right.
I'm like, what the fuck is that? She's like, well, maybe you're sleeping on your arms or something. I'm like, come on, man. But so I don't know. She didn't make a big deal out of it. She's like, look, you're able to move my arms up, so you're okay.
Right.
And that's it, you know. So like she put her arms on my hands and I had to lift my hands to see if it was... it hurt a little bit, yeah, but it does. I mean, I don't know. I'm falling to pieces, and she tells me I'm okay. I mean, my, you know, they checked my vital signs, everything's cool.
Right.
So I'm happy with that, you know? It seems like every time I go to a doctor to get a marijuana recommendation, they say, oh, you got high blood pressure. I'm like, no, man, it's just because I'm nervous to be here. But,
no, you probably have high blood pressure, Sam.
But I don't. That's the thing. The guy checked yesterday. He said it's not high. It's like in the, I don't know, 130s, which is not too bad.
So if you have high blood pressure, they won't give you a weed recommendation?
No, they still do. They give you anything. Even if you're half dead, they'll give it to you. They don't care, you yeah, know?
They don't. And they probably get paid off of it, no?
But they, yeah, of course.
Yeah, doc, that's why I don't trust doctors. I'm like, am I really sick, doc? Or like, you just want to get paid off this prescription?
Yeah, there was
a 1 year I went to the doctors 35 times.
Really?
I used to be like a severe hypochondriac.
Really?
Like anytime I hooked up with someone, I was like, I'm dying.
Yeah.
The world is coming to an end.
Well, I got a little taste of that when I started thinking, what if I have like arthritis? What if I have leukemia? What if I have a clot? What?
Did you?
And it shows you not to self-diagnose yourself at all. Don't fucking go on Google. Mm-hmm. Look it up because it's not a good diagnosis.
WebMD? Forget it.
Yeah, right.
You start off and they have those little like maps now where you start at question one and you got to like answer and then it'll take you to and you go through like this maze and at the end it's like you're dying.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God. Yeah, don't do that.
Dying. Yeah. All right, well, we're going to bring in our guest right now because we don't want to keep him in the wings when he's got so much to say. We're joined by comedian, I guess author too, Kayvon, right?
Well, that's the newest thing right now.
Yeah, right?
I just wrote a book. I'm here to talk about it, make everybody laugh. And if not, then we failed our job.
There you go, you see. And sounds good, man. Welcome to the show. Are you an LA native?
I'm from Reno, Nevada, then I moved to Vegas, and then I moved to LA 12 years ago, so I got to start claiming it.
Yeah.
But I was really
hesitant. Do have to. So you're a Nevadan,
pretty much. I'm a Nevadan. People wait, like, about, you know, people are like, but you lived here for 13 years, and
right.
I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess I'm from LA now.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
What year do you officially admit you're
probably
from?
Probably like
10. Okay.
I would say like 10 years.
Yeah. Why? Why 10? I mean, if you're here for 2 years, you're probably home for a while. You know?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
No, you can call it home.
Every year, a big bus from the Midwest comes and drops off all the hopeful Hollywood and future comedian stars, and then every year another bus leaves.
Yeah.
So I've watched about 15 buses go back and forth, and I'm still here, baby.
I know. It's like all the ones in the little towns that think they're like the hottest thing. They come to LA, and then they realize there's a lot hotter people than them.
Oh, that's horrible.
No, but it's true.
Well, there was someone who won in America's Got Talent was from LA 1 year, and someone who got 11th place was from Ohio or something like that.
Really?
And the 11th place person came home, they had a parade, they shut down the airport. he got to sing on a float all the way down downtown. And then the person who won from LA, they had the filming crew, it was an empty airport, nobody cared, and then she went back to her little studio apartment.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Start over. You know, yeah.
I'm moving to Ohio.
Yeah.
But it does happen, you know, and especially to women who feel they're hot and they want to make it in Hollywood and everything. There's always you're always going to find somebody hotter and richer and, you know, whatever in LA, you know, there's just so many people.
So
you grew up in Reno. What was that like?
Well,
is that like a lot like Vegas, but smaller, right?
It is. It's like a small Las Vegas. It's like Las Vegas on a budget.
Right.
And we had the casino life, but Reno has something Las Vegas doesn't. Big, tall mountains and Lake Tahoe.
Right.
And some of the best skiers in the world. So I was a downhill skiing expert until 12, and then I moved to Vegas. So whenever I go back, I'm still the best 12-year-old you've ever seen skiing.
Really? But How cool is that?
My friends kept going, got to like Olympic developmental ski team levels and things like that. And they were just doing backflips off of like chairlift, you know, runs and all that. I'm like, whoa, no.
You grew up skiing?
I grew up downhill skiing.
Wow,
competitively.
Very cool, you know?
And then my dad is Iranian. That's a very interesting thing came from going to Iran to Reno.
Right.
All
right.
The Iranians went to Irvine. They're like, let's stay with what we know, Irvine. But so in Reno, we were the only family. And that's kind of what a lot of my jokes and comedy is about, is like growing up not knowing anything about the culture, then moving to Los Angeles. And boom, it's in your
face. And your mom is what?
My mom is what I call regular white.
Regular white person.
And Persians always go, but we are also white. Why do you say she is white? We are white.
Again, right.
If you spell white with a V, then you're Persian. Yeah,
that's funny. So so is that why you ended up in Reno? Is that where your mom was from? I mean,
yeah, you know, my dad, he left Iran, and his brother had already moved to Reno in the mining industry. My dad wasn't a good engineer at mining, so he just worked at the casino life. So
yeah,
my dad
was
like a wild and crazy guy in the 70s. Right. There was a hostage crisis with Iranians hating Americans, and somehow he landed a beautiful blonde woman. So my dad must have had a lot of game back then.
Yeah, he must have.
I feel like Middle Eastern guys in general just have a lot of game.
You think so?
Yeah, in the beginning.
In the beginning. We're really good
in the beginning.
Yeah,
exactly.
And then all of a sudden it's like, wait a second.
Did you realize all the woman
Yeah, and I'm like, no.
Sexism and stuff, you know? It does happen, man. It does happen.
That's right. They're like, cover your hair, cover your eyes. You don't want to see what I'm doing tomorrow.
Right, exactly.
Oh, my God, pretty much.
Have you ever dated a Middle Eastern guy?
I've dated two.
Oh, two. Okay.
Yeah, she likes Middle Eastern guys, actually.
I just met a Middle Eastern guy, and we've been talking for a couple of days.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. And he's like, can I take you out this week? And I was like, next week.
That's good. You got to keep him at arm's distance. Make him earn it. Yeah. I always do comedy shows, and I go around the Midwest and I do shows on cruise ships, so they've never seen a Persian, and I'm not a good representation because I look regular.
Right.
Yeah.
But I always say, if you've never dated a Middle Eastern man, I'm your guy. Start with a half first.
Exactly.
See if you like
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Take baby steps.
Baby steps.
Yep, because if you go straight to a Persian, it's like heartbreak, crying.
Plus
like,
the cologne, you have to breathe through your nose.
I like that.
Like
if I can smell him coming, that's a good thing.
Yeah? You think, because I don't know, when cologne or perfume are too strong, I don't like it, you know?
Yeah.
Like if it like fills the whole elevator and stuff.
I love it.
You know? You do?
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
I like to, you know, you do this spray and just walk through it and keep on going. But they're like pouring it into their pants.
Yeah, right.
Just in case. You never know.
So cool. So you grew up in Reno. What age did you guys move to Vegas? How old
My dad, they were opening a brand new casino called The Mirage in Las Vegas. At that time, it was like the most beautiful golden casino with palm trees. So my dad got hired there to do opening week because he'd worked at Harrah's for 25 years. So my dad has been in the gaming industry for a long time. And my dad would always take me to the top of Las Vegas overlooking the valley and say, do you see this city? You know, Middle Eastern
man. It'll be yours one day.
One day it will be yours. I go, yeah. I go, Dad, one day it'll be mine. And he goes, no, don't gamble. These are built by losers. What if one day it will be yours? Get in the car. We go home now. He was trying to teach me not to gamble because the whole town was built by people losing their cash.
Right, right. I remember when the Mirage was built. I think I was in Vegas. Wasn't that like early 90s when it was built?
I believe it was 1989 was the construction, and if 91 is when we moved.
Yeah, you see, because I remember because I moved to Vegas in the early 90s, and it was so all these hotels like the
Treasure Island, Excalibur, Mirage.
Yeah, and the pyramid. What's
pyramid
it called?
Luxor.
Luxor, that's right. Yeah, I'm trying to think of the Luxor. Mm-hmm. So I remember those were the years when they built all of them. They built a lot of new ones all at the same time, you know?
They made them all family friendly. They wanted Las Vegas to be the family town, and it kind of tanked. MGM had a theme park that was a wannabe Disneyland.
Right.
And when it kind of tanked, then Las Vegas changed their whole image in the year 2000.
Right.
And he says, what happens in this adult town stays here. And that is how they tried to put it back to like the Rat Pack days.
Exactly. The Sin Town.
Sin City. Yeah.
Oh, well. So, and because I lived in Vegas twice. So I'm familiar with Vegas. I lived there in the 70s, believe it or not. Growing up, you know, in the hippie era and stuff like that was the best place to live. It was Vegas. It was small, you know.
Small.
And we were getting a lot of good concerts, though. And
Elvis Presley coming in?
Well, he had died by that time. Oh, wow. You know, I got there. It was 1976. I think he had been dead already. Or no, wait a minute. He died maybe a year or two after that.
Maybe that.
Yeah. But no, you know, I mean, we had like the Doobie Brothers and Heart and ABBA and Alice Cooper and I can't even remember all the acts that were there. It was just amazing.
It was an amazing town. Me and my friends, this is the boy band craze. So me and my friends are in high school, and we look kind of like a boy band. So we would just wear like matching white dress shirts and baggy jeans and stand by the exit after NSYNC got out. Because these girls are all charged up. Like, oh, we just saw. And we were the closest thing they could get to meeting Justin.
Yeah.
And we
and it's so true. That's what people used to wear back in the day. It's like the baggy pants.
Puka shell necklace. Yeah. White dress shirt open with a wife beater underneath.
Yeah, there
you go. That's the way to do it.
Not anymore.
Now we have thermal wife beaters. Yeah. We get older.
You know? There you go, you see. So if you're just joining us, we're talking to Kayvon. How did the name come about? Is this your stage name?
No, my name is Kayvon, and I spelled it with a dash so people pronounce it. It's really an E right there, but people call me Kayvon and Kayvon.
Or Kevin or something, right?
Kayvon, and it means in Persian, the god who rules over the planet Saturn.
Oh, really?
That's cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, and then Mosey doesn't really mean anything, but in Persian, Mose means banana.
Okay.
So I figured if you're very mosey, that means you
exactly. And besides, who cares about last names? You know, I mean,
nobody cares about last names.
Yeah,
ever.
You know, you go by. But Kayvon is good. So is that like a Persian name?
Persian name. Yes.
Oh, okay, cool.
So, yeah, officially, it's the god who rules over the planet Saturn with a giant banana. So yeah, I got that's a lot to live up to.
And that's a god from where he thinks the coffee is for him. No, there's a special delivery of coffee. The usual Friday delivery.
Nice.
For the princess over here.
Wow, Starbucks.
Someone's
as Persians say,
like a princess.
It's a Starbucks. They don't put the S.
No.
Starbucks.
Yeah.
Starbucks.
When I dated the Persian, he used to say like Wednesdays. Well, he'd drop the S, and I'd be like, "It's Wednesdays." Oh, yeah. Say the S.
Yeah.
Oh God.
No, it's a lot. It's funny some of the accents and the way people say things.
Every Persian has a regular name and then a customer service name or their Starbucks name. So get to Starbucks because you're like, "My name is Kayvon," and they want to have this long discussion with how did this come? And I'm like,
exactly.
"I'm not doing a radio interview. I just want my drink." So I just go by Kevin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There you go,
Kevin.
You
know? But no, Kevin. I feel like Kayvon is pretty easy. Like I wouldn't.
In LA, because there are some black people and there's
that's true. That is a black name, yeah.
Yeah, Kayvon. You know? Yeah. Actually, if there's like a black barista, I'm like, it's Kayvon Moezy. And like, okay, I'll write that on your
card. But yeah, there's a lot of things like that. But that's cool. So you feel, involved yourself in the Persian community?
I fell into it because when I got here, they said, comedian Kayvon is coming, and a bunch of Persians started coming to see me, and I go, but I wasn't that Iranian, like really, Reno, Nevada.
Right.
So then I started having to figure out what makes this group laugh. They keep coming. They buy tickets. They buy T-shirts and books after the show. So
right.
I started really honing on, okay, and my show is really usually half Persian and half just, you know.
Random people.
Random people.
Yeah.
And I go, this audience just like me.
Yeah. Exactly,
and I play them against each other,
right.
And it becomes really funny because if you just go all Persian, what I call two chacha, then you're over here alienated. Like I don't like this.
You know what? I was just about to say, like one of my friends, Sam doesn't really like him, is Persian and black, and he's a stand-up comedian. He does Laugh Factory on Mondays and Thursdays, and he did an all Persian night, so it was all Persian comedians.
Two chacha.
And I went, and I told Sam it was the worst comedy show I've ever been
That's
to. I did not laugh like a single time.
And was it in English or
it was in English?
Persian, really?
Completely English.
Yeah.
And the whole crowd, usually his crowds are mixed. Like you have black, white, Persian, a lot of people from different countries.
Right.
That are like just, this is on the list of bucket
list. So you felt it wasn't funny, but did the crowd think it was funny? Did the crowd laugh?
But it was like
it's rough. Hollywood is a rough place. They get they force people to come. Everyone's competing for the same like 400 people that are going out for the night.
So that's
the night,
true, right?
So you're getting like some of these promoters in LA are trying to get a nightclub crowd to come to a comedy show. That
I mean, it could work because comedy shows are like at a decent time. Like if you go to a comedy show, like for me, if a perfect date for me would be like comedy show then dinner, you know, or. Comedy show, then we go to a lounge. Like, I don't think going to a comedy show is really like the same. They can market it correctly.
Right,
basically.
If they do. But they don't do it right in LA. They're just trying to get anyone. They got Groupons and coupons. When I go on the road, once I get out of what I call the TMZ, 30-mile zone of LA, people are excited to see a comedian from Hollywood.
Right.
They're
right.
there to listen. But here, I see girls coming to the comedy club, like, doing that Lakers thing. You know, like, have you ever seen girls at the Lakers games that just keep walking? You're like, are you really going to the bathroom 80 times? Or are you trying to get Kobe Bryant's attention?
Right.
You're like, I have to go get more. It's like... And that's what they're doing in the comedy show. There's a lot of like little disruptions, and I'm just like, yeah. Stop.
I haven't been to a comedy show in so long.
That would be such a distraction if people started like either talking while I'm doing my my act or getting up and leaving and shit
I
like that.
I heckle sometimes,
know?
But it's just natural.
Do you?
Yeah.
A little bit of back and forth is just natural, right. Like normal communications. But some people will be like, I'm trying to help you, man. And they're like doing things that is like, dude, let me get to my story.
You're right.
Because
right.
Sometimes your setup needs to be really done in the right way so you can get to the punchline.
Right. And if see, they I don't do that. But like if, say, the comedian like asks a question, I'll be like the first one to be like, bah, bah, bah. Say something.
See, have you guys ever seen the movie Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yeah, I just did, yeah.
Because he was a little before our growing up, probably, but I really became a big fan of Freddie Mercury. Then I went down the rabbit hole on YouTube and started watching all his stuff, and I realized there's some things I do in my comedy that's a little like him, but I can really crank it up more. Getting the audience to really be part of your show together. Right. Not a lot of comedians do that, but when you do, the audience is like, I'm going to roll with this guy. Mm-hmm. They'll be your fans for life.
So that's what you do in your act?
Yeah, I do this new joke about how, have you ever heard the thing that they're doing in LA where they're saying men and women are exactly the same and you're just a sexist if you think they're different.
Right.
That's a big thing.
It's not just in LA, it's the entire left, okay?
The far left is saying men and women are exactly the same, and if you even try to say there's a difference, you're misogynistic, sexist, jerk, bigot, homophobe, or whatever. So, so I just said, I can prove we're different right now in the crowd. Yeah. Ask the guys, 2 a.m. and a beautiful young lady calls you, come over right now. How far are these men willing to drive? And the dudes are like 10 miles, 20, and I'm just letting the crowd shout. One guy's like 1,000 miles. A Persian guy's got a private plane. He's ready to roll. And then I go, now, ladies, it's 2 a.m. and some dude just rings you up. Come over to my house. I'm drunk. You come to me right now.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm like, how far are you gonna drive? And the girls are like,
Yeah.
And
you're
another
right.
girl
you're
goes,
right.
hell no. And I go, even if a girl tried to go, her friend would take her keys. Be like, we came together. We leave together. You're not going to see
that. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's
you know?
True.
And the crowds are laughing. And I'm like, I just connected the room.
Right.
Instead of me just trying to make everyone laugh, I made the room have a party.
Right.
What you can do is this: ask the crowd who of you doesn't think that men and women are different. And then when they do, tell them, okay, I'll drop my pants. You drop your pants and let's see how alike we
that
are
that might backfire
you know?
Yeah I know I yeah hope I hope it's a woman
but how alike that's what I'm saying no if it's a woman you know it's usually women that say that you know
it usually yeah.
There's no difference between men and women
but men
it's,
would drop
it's
their pants.
Feminists more than women but
it's that's right I mean and so what I do is instead of trying to alienate any crowd members I've been like really just saying you know what you do to defuse these bombs? Because you can offend people in the crowd very easily these days. They're
right.
Quick. So what I do is I go, now you guys are all at a comedy club, so I know you don't get offended easily. You guys like to laugh. Give yourselves a hand.
Right.
So we've already clapped to agree with that.
Right.
Then I go, but we all know those people who don't come to comedy clubs who get offended by everything.
Right.
They ruin them at work. You got to be careful
right.
what
Why
you say.
Why do they even bother?
But those people are in my crowd. But because I made them clap that they're not them at first, and now I'm talking crap about these invisible enemies out there.
Right.
Even those people that get offended are like, damn it, I can't vocalize myself now because this whole audience would be against me right
That's
now.
That's true.
So I'm diffusing bombs. You know, most Persians, you know, we need to know how to work with bombs, you know. So
yeah, right? That's true. But, well, Kayvon, let's talk a little bit about your book. You brought a book in with you.
Yes. This just came out this week. That's
really?
Why I'm very excited. I hate coming on and just like, let's sell this. But this is a laugh on every page. And what I did last night at my show, first time ever, I go, you yell out a page number, like I said, getting the credible, and I'll read and prove it.
So I'll do it. 21.
Okay, page 21. See, it's very risky, too.
Yeah, let's see how funny that is. This reminds me of watching Penn and Teller yesterday with all these tricks.
All right, you pick a number.
No, 21.
No, I'm kidding. Can we verify that's page 21?
And, this one, yeah, 21.
Yes, and can you tell me whose picture that is on the page 21?
Yeah, the Iron Sheik.
Iron Sheik.
I don't know who that is.
It's a famous WWE wrestler from back in the days.
Okay.
He was
the first and only Persian wrestler.
And he was funny. He had such a thick accent, you know.
Oh, really?
They'd have him on Howard Stern. There's a lot of things I remember from
He's dead? You guys are talking about him in
He's still alive. He's still
is
alive.
Is he still alive?
Yes, and he's...
Oh, he just isn't performing, though, is he?
No, he can't. He's in his 70s, and he did a documentary, and The Rock was like kind of the main catalyst of the documentary,
right,
talking
right.
about how
nice.
And so anyway, so this is a true story about me and my dad went to go see the Iron Sheik.
Really?
Yeah. Now, what you don't know about the Iron Sheik is because the America and the Iran was at conflict at the time.
Right.
So
people hated
him. The bad
right?
dad hated him.
He was
but my
the
dad
bad
loved
guy.
Him
right,
because
right.
he's Iranian. So my dad didn't know why everyone's booing and yelling
yeah.
at him.
They created like good characters, bad guys, good guys.
It's
you
a
know?
Soap right. opera. It's a soap
like
opera.
Like Hulk Hogan was like the good guy.
Until he wasn't.
Yeah, exactly.
Now he's yes. just like, everyone's like, wow.
But
Hulk
he was
Hogan.
The all-American surfer boy at the time.
Yeah, when
you know?
He would come out, yeah. they played like the national anthem. He'd
exactly.
run out, and he'd start hitting the Iron Sheik over the head.
Well, Hulk Hogan got caught up with racist comments, right?
He got caught and cheating on his wife.
Cheating on his wife, too, with the videotape.
They videotaped him.
Yeah.
And who's that guy from Baywatch? He had a downfall, too.
David Hasselhoff.
Oh, God. Yeah. Remember that video of him eating on the
Yeah, with the hamburger?
Oh, yeah.
With his son.
Who was filming that? That they played him.
Yeah, his girlfriend or something.
Probably.
Okay, here's a little excerpt from the book to prove. Okay. I say funny on every page, right? Okay, we already talked about it. Pro wrestling is a soap opera for men. The characters mirror whatever real-world conflict is going on. So when we were in the Cold War, the biggest wrestling villain was a Russian guy.
Right.
And then once the Iranian hostage crisis happened, nobody was more enemy than Iran. Therefore, the Iron Sheik became the famous wrestler. Yeah. Now, when we would play in my living room, me and my friends want to pretend to be our favorite wrestler, Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior. They always made me be the Iron Sheik. I said,
even though you look nothing like
I
you.
Said, not again. They go, you're the closest Iranian we know. Now go put that towel over your head and get on your pointy shoes.
Oh my God.
No.
Well, but that's funny, you know, because, I remember him, and that's exactly the way he's describing it, because I guess they sort of symbolized, you know, the good and the bad guys in the real world by wrestling them, you know, in that in that farce that was called
right.
professional wrestling.
Like after World War II, it was like a Japanese like guy, and they would right. come beat him up and stuff. Because all the redneck beer guzzling Americans, like, yeah, we're winning right now.
Yeah, that's why all the movies.
I was
were
never
like
into
that,
wrestling,
you know?
And I still don't understand it. Like sometimes I will be watching Law and Order SVU. Marathons on USA, and then it'll end, and it'll be like WW Raw, and I'm like, this is still fucking on television. Like people still watch this.
Yeah, they
it's
do.
What their business model is really good, because they put every Monday night event on TV.
Yeah, on USA,
leading up to the big event. That's the Summer Slam, the Winter Slam, the cage match, or whatever.
Right.
So this Monday night, every Monday leads up to the end of the month, the big one.
Right.
But it's also happening live. So they're making ticket sales, drink sales, hot dog sales.
But my question is, like, who's going to watch that? Like, what the fuck? It's Dads. All scripted.
Right.
Like, they're not even hitting each other. And, like, no, you could tell they're not hitting each other. Yeah. I'm like, who finds this entertaining when you have UFC and they're really beating the shit out of each other?
Right.
Like, blood dripping everywhere. Yeah. People going to the hospital. And then
it's
you have WWE.
Like, could you imagine a man's watching you watch, like, The Real World or, like, Desperate Housewives? Like, it's not real. It's not real. It's not real. Eventually, like, shut up. I like what Denise is doing right now. You know?
Yeah. So it's funny that you say that, because I was on a reality show.
Oh, you were?
I've done 11.
Which one?
I did,
which 11?
I did Bad Girls Club and then...
Oh, Bad Girls Club. Mm-hmm. Did you know a girl named Genovesia?
No.
Russo.
Oh, she from New York?
Well, I guess she's from Las Vegas originally.
But she got long...
Brown hair. Yeah,
she got fake titties.
Yeah, but don't they all?
Yeah, we kicked her. She was on my season. We kicked her out on the first
really?
Day.
Really?
Let me see. Because I went to high school with
yeah,
her.
Yeah, make sure you show me a picture. I'll tell you. I'm pretty sure she's on my season.
That's funny.
And we sent her packing in 24
hours.
Were you
in one of the original seasons? Or?
Yeah, I was on season 8.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And she was on my season, if we're talking about the same
that chick. That would be amazing. Okay.
That's so funny.
Would that be?
That girl right there.
No,
you didn't beat her ass. Okay, that's the girl I went to high school with.
Who did? What season was she on?
I think she might have been like season like
she
one.
She looks like a bad girl, but she's hot,
bad.
Man.
Oh,
right?
From Bad Girl Club 2.
Okay, yeah, no, I was on 8. Oh, so okay. She's like, what, 40 now?
Yeah, she probably is 40. Yeah, and you're a baby. But
no, I'm not. I'm 20. I was 22 when I filmed the show, but I'm 30
now.
Oh,
my God. She now has tattoos of two handguns going down to her
vagina. Vagina.
Yeah, yeah, baby. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so it's just like...
yeah, handguns.
Shoot it up.
It looks
well,
like
maybe
it needs
like
more of a shot of penicillin.
Yeah.
Maybe to represent her ovaries
damn.
Or something.
Damn.
You know? Two ovaries.
Yeah, that sucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes I think people just don't know what they're doing when they get tattoos.
Oh, yeah. There's a whole website on that.
Really? Some of them are are like totally fucked up when
like
they go
I have
in,
Chinese.
Right?
What is this? Like, what is this?
You don't even know, huh?
Right.
It, you know what it says?
Sweet and sour sauce.
No, it says shrimp $2 extra.
Yeah.
Let me see what you have there. It's like Chinese characters.
Chinese symbols, yeah.
And what do you don't know what they mean?
Well, I wanted them to be undefined, but honestly, like, who knows what this means? And I've been trying to find someone who can cover this up with something like dope. Like, I was like thinking maybe like something that can turn into like a bird or a henna or something. Mm-hmm. That even if I get like the top of my hand tatted, just cover that shit up. And like no one's like,
yeah,
it's like it's too big. Your arm will be black.
Whoa.
My dad told me don't ever get a tattoo. He's right. Like, would you ever put the bumper sticker on a Bentley?
I think tattoos where on guys is so sexy. It.
Yeah. Well, it's the new generation because sometimes I think about it. I realize almost everybody now mm-hmm. has a tattoo. Mm-hmm. When I was growing up, it was like a no-no.
The
it
bikers.
It was a big no-no, right? Mm-hmm. Just the bikers and mm-hmm. the gang members and yeah. shit. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's
different. I love it.
So you don't have any tattoos, right?
No,
you respect your parents a little bit.
I do, yeah. And I couldn't think of anything that I liked at the age of 17 or 19 that I might still like at 55.
You're right.
I don't think I can't make that decision.
I will say I have two cover-ups right now. So I've definitely made some mistakes in my day.
Now they have an ink that you just put a light or a UV light and it immediately erases your tattoo. So that way you can like remove it quicker. It's a UV killing ink.
Yeah, so I went to like a consultation for that. Mm-hmm. One, it's so expensive. Like at that point, I'd rather just pay for a cover-up. Like it's extremely expensive. Number two, for black people or anyone who has a little bit of pigmentation, doesn't work.
No.
Mm-mm. They're like, we'll get rid of like the ink, but you're going to have that outline for the rest of your life.
Right.
So it's like, I'm going to look like I have a giant scar.
No,
it's like not even worth it at that point.
No.
Yeah.
That's true.
Just wear bracelets or something. Nobody will see
I it. Actually forget that I have that one.
Yeah.
Until I do like YouTube videos and stuff and I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. She's totally full of tattoos. I mean, my God.
My whole ass is tatted.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's well.
You can
one day.
And you can also see it on Instagram. That's all you got to do is go there and check it out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. Instagram. You know, people used to hope for the Sears calendar or the Sears catalog to come. Right. That way you could look at the, when your mom wasn't looking, the lingerie.
Right, right.
Or now it's just boop right on your Instagram. Mm-hmm.
I know.
Ages 14 and up.
Yeah.
And it's not just that. I mean, it's like you can see anything on the internet.
Yeah.
It's so brutally honest. You know, it brings everything from underground to mainstream.
It's a little too much, though, because children are seeing stuff that they shouldn't be seeing at an age that they shouldn't be watching.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It totally will screw them up for life, you know?
Like, there was a video on Facebook, like, right before, because I don't really use Facebook. I'm not a Facebook girl, but I keep it because all your apps are connected to Facebook. But there was, right before I decided I'm good posting on this ever again, there was, like, a video of, like, two, like, they look like they were maybe 10-year-olds having sex.
Whoa.
And they were filming themselves. But it was on Facebook.
Whoa.
And then the parent walked in and, like, beat the shit out of, like, you know, their son that was having sex with the other 10-year-old. And I'm like, how is this appropriate? It's, like, literally child pornography on Facebook. Wow.
When we were 10 in Las Vegas, there was a boyfriend-girlfriend couple, the first one, because boys didn't like girls yet. By 10.
Yeah, right.
But they did. They held hands. And they went behind the portable and they said, we did it. And we're like, what? I go, what do you do? What do you do? He goes, we poop together.
Oh, my God.
They thought that's the sign of they both went and held hands and went poop together.
Like in the same stall?
No, behind the building. Because they thought...
They shit in grass?
Yeah, like behind the building, like in the alley.
Oh, my God.
Like two future homeless people.
Oh, my God.
Because they didn't know what they're supposed to... They knew they're
supposed, how old were they?
They were 10. We were in like third grade or something. They knew they had to do something with their pants off together, and that's what came to mind. So
Wow.
And looking back, that relationship is a lot stronger than most. I don't... Have you been doing that in front of your man ever?
No. No,
hey,
I don't
we defecated
poop.
Together.
My mom and my dad, when they were still together, my mom would still walk three flights of stairs downstairs to take a poop in the bathroom on the first floor. And she'd walk out of the bathroom and I'd be like, Mom, you've been with this man for 33 years.
Yeah.
I think he knows that you shit.
Yeah.
Right. But you don't want to be heard.
Yeah.
I know. I'm like that too, you know?
Yeah.
It's I remember I'd go with a woman on vacation or something when I was dating or even women I was married to. At the hotel, I would tell them, go in the balcony while I'm going in the bathroom. I don't want you to hear anything.
See, I don't care about that. Mm-hmm. My ex-boyfriend used to shit, and like one time it was in the shape of a question mark. So he'd be like, babe, come in here. And I was like, ew.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's we have to have this visual right now.
I made this video on Instagram. I was like, because people still think farting is a big deal. And I'm like, if you have a man and he can't let one rip and like you pop a joke after, like you guys aren't in love.
I don't know about that.
No, it's true.
That's not true. That's not true. I've been in love many times and I don't like farting. I don't want any bodily functions. Close the fucking door.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch you
pee. Well, I think it's a little different for girls to like let one rip. But if they did, it's like, oh, well, I was gassy.
Right.
No, don't take me for Mexican then.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Like, what do you do on vacation and you have one suite?
Right. That's what I'm saying. You go on the balcony and the other one, you know.
And then he's just going to chill on the balcony until the whole place airs out? Yeah. Like, let's be serious right now.
You have to.
or girls will say, I got to go use the lobby to make a phone call.
Yeah.
The lobby bathroom gets way more use than the actual bedroom.
Yeah, right? That's funny. Man. Well, we are joined by K-Von. You guys can check out more about his stuff. K-VonComedy.com. Mm-hmm. V-O-N. So K-VonComedy.com. comedy.com, and I guess all your upcoming shows are here.
Yes, if you just Google K-Von Comedian, I'm the only one on there, and you find me on Instagram, Facebook, Craigslist, blackplanetonly.com. I'm on everything.
Black Planet. It's K dash all the time?
Yeah, well, you know, Google's so good now. You just type half Persian comedian K-Von or whatever you want. K-V-O-N.
Yes, fun. Isn't it crazy?
Right. It's pretty crazy.
And then you start typing something, and it finishes it for you because so many other people have typed the same thing. That's weird.
Yes. Right. I know. That's why you type K-Von Comedian and you hope it doesn't say, really sucks, don't ever go see that guy. You're like, ah! But and I'm lucky because I get to tour the country, the world even. I'm going to Pakistan this year.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. I'm seeing here, you're going to Karachi. Are you out of your mind? Why would you go there?
They told me it's they bring comedians. Zoned. I know. This might be my last show, so come see me
now.
No. I'm doing Vegas for 2 weeks, like my mini Elvis Presley run.
Right.
Nice.
I'm doing that starting on Monday, and then I'm going to go to Seattle, Phoenix, Huntington Beach, and then Columbus, Ohio. Then we're flying straight from Toronto.
Wow, I see. You're going to Canada too?
Yes, I go to Canada. I go anywhere that they have. The minimum is like, I tell them, if you can't get 100 people in a room, then don't bother. But anything over 100, I can bring them to life. And last show we had an interview. The lady goes, will you come if I get 800 people to the show? I said, let's do this. And we did.
Wow. And how do you get those gigs? Do you do all the footwork yourself?
It's all from thanks God, as they say, thanks to God.
Yeah, I was going to say this. They say thanks God.
Thanks God to YouTube.
Thanks God.
You can go around Hollywood. It used to be Hollywood was a gatekeeper. Hollywood doesn't like you, you're done. And a lot of people had to quit the job. But Hollywood doesn't always pick the people who are the best. They pick who they like. So you build up your YouTube, your website, and you went around them. And now they have to do business with you. Or you're just going to make your money on your own. And that's what I decided to do because I was sick of waiting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So go come see me in one of those cities. And actually, anyone that's watching, I want to give away 2 free tickets to Seattle, Phoenix, and Huntington Beach.
Wow.
If you message me first, find me on one of my many platforms.
Yeah.
Your listeners should be rewarded.
Right.
So you're on social media too, right? So all it is, just K-Von. You'll find him. Go on
you
Google.
You can find me on, anything. Farmers Only. I mean, I'm...
Farmers Only.
Craigslist. No.
Craigslist.
It's amazing. We have to do everything. Like, people like... When Instagram came out, that was a little extra, but whatever. Because I had a MySpace, a Facebook, and an Instagram.
Right, right.
Yeah. And then they had a Snapchat and a Vine videos, and I can't do it all.
No,
I'm like, let's pick two.
Right.
Right.
I think YouTube's where it's at, but it's like also you have to be real consistent.
Yes.
Like my YouTube, my sister's very consistent with hers, and her following goes up like crazy amounts every week. I have like almost 50,000.
Oh, nice. That's real good. That's real
but
good.
But last video was like 3 weeks ago. Mm. So if I'm posting like 2-3 times a week, now that I'm jobless again.
Uh-huh. As a comedian, people used to come up to me and they or email me, do you still do comedy anymore? And that's the worst question you can ever get when you think you're working your butt off. So I made a rule. I said, I'm going to put one comedy clip a week. And I've done that now for 2 years straight.
Yeah.
Really?
You got to push
on Instagram for sure.
But you got to do one a week, and nobody has asked me in over 3 years, do you still do comedy?
Because
you do not want to hear that when you're working your butt off. And then, and I got the audio book now and the regular books. Some people are lazy. I had to read it to them.
Really?
Yeah, so there's both versions, and they're on Amazon and on my website. So.
There you go. Mm-hmm. And I see you also have, a documentary film that you made?
Yes, so this is an interesting thing, is when I came to L.A., everyone goes, what are you doing for Nowruz? Never even heard of it. It's the biggest holiday for Middle Eastern people. It's Persian New Year. It happens in the month of March. And it's like Christmas. Kids get money and gifts and presents. And
don't you have to jump over like a candle or something?
You jump over a fire. Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. And you know what? My dad never told me about it. And he's like, well, I wanted you to fit in America. I'm like, no, you wanted to save money on gifts, clothes, jumping over fire.
Yeah.
So it was like being a kid finding out about Christmas, but as a grown man. So I went around and learned the whole traditions of the holiday, and I brought the viewer along with me learn what it was. And it went viral. I got on a bunch of radio shows, TV shows, and then I won a bunch of awards in some film festivals for exposing myself and the viewer to a new culture and a new holiday. Because a lot of the Middle Eastern documentaries are about, we are not bad people, you dumb Americans, you don't know, lecturing Americans. Or the other side is like, they are dangerous and they are coming. You know, mine was just, let's tell you about a new party you never heard about and show families getting along.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. So Nowruz, that's the New Year?
Persian New Year happens right after Chinese New Year.
So you made a movie called Nowruz Lost and Found.
It was Lost and Found. I went up in my dad's attic and started finding all kinds of little Persian rugs and little fireplace things and little...
That's cute.
It was fun.
Really yeah, my cool. roommate, my old roommate is Persian. She jumped over a candle because she didn't go to a party.
Yeah, her HOA wouldn't allow her. I always say that it looks like it's not a big deal. It's a tiny bonfire and they jump over. But you got to think, Persians are really hairy and wear a lot of perfume.
Yeah.
Very flammable, so it's very dangerous. Mm-hmm. If you survive that, you're ready for a good new year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they always, their most popular cologne is Oud.
Ooh,
everybody wears Ood.
Really?
Yeah.
See, you know that.
It smells so good, though. Like, I would wear it.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I would. But it's like $500 a bottle.
If you just hug a Persian man, you are wearing
it. I know. Yep.
So you have upcoming events in L.A., too. People can go see you.
Yes, I pop in and out of L.A. L.A. is kind of a little showcase town. You don't get to do your full show normally, and you just come do a 10 minutes or 5 minutes. And
yeah.
I could be on the booking, and then Chris Rock comes in, and they'll kick you right off. I mean, there's always a hierarchy, like you said.
Yeah, yeah.
So I prefer to go to Pasadena. Chris Rock doesn't come bump me off stage. Right. You know? Go to Santa Monica. You know, suddenly Louis C.K. isn't forcing me off the stage.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's been great. Irvine is a great place for me, and I put up a show all around the country every year in every city, every major city.
Very cool, man. Very
once a year. Nice. And then you got to have new jokes when you come once a year. Once people are spending money just to see you, you better bring something new.
But do you think they're going to remember it a year later?
I encourage them to have the 2-drink minimum. And that way I don't have to do 100% new. I could do like 70% new.
Yeah. Right.
Because I've seen Adam Devine like 4 times.
Yeah,
but it's the same act every time I've seen him. But every single time I watch it, it's like... Holy shit. It's like funnier than the first time you told the jokes.
Yes, that's a great thing when you can do that. Luckily, with some of my videos that went viral, after my show, I'm like, I'm about to go, you know, and then someone goes, wait, do the Persian girl dancing joke. And I'm like, oh, you guys want to hear that? And it becomes like a fun thing at the end where people are shouting out their favorites from online.
Oh, that's nice.
That's nice when you make them ask for it instead of just keep giving them the same meal over and over.
Right.
Once they ask for it, then I go, who's never seen the Persian girl dancing? Okay. Then I get the crowd to do this. And I go, all right, those of you, it goes like this. And then I do the Persian girl joke.
Right.
So it once again unites the audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very cool, man.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot to it.
Yeah. They do this thing where they wiggle their arms in your face. Like, I know you want it, then they put their hand to their forehead like, go away, you don't get it. I call it the yes no and then they say change the light bulbs up in the air, change the light bulbs. And some Persian girls have that nice rack, so I was changing the headlights too.
There you go. So that's cool. So did you like consciously make a decision to become a comedian?
It was interesting. I always wanted to be a comedian, but there's not really like a path. Back in the 90s, there's no like how to. Now there's probably 100 ways to look it up. But back then, I'm like, I guess you just do it and get famous.
Right.
And moving to LA was like starting from scratch. It was like go to open mics, go to laundromats and perform.
Really?
Pizza parlors.
Yeah, anywhere, right?
And the worse you are, the worse the shows are. So nothing's working. And then you get little like tidbits of like love, like, oh, this regular comedy club wants you to do 4 minutes. You're like, oh. And then as you start to work your way up, now I headline theaters.
Yeah.
Very nice.
That's
very
cool.
So you managed to make a career out of this. It's not just a hobby for you. A
funny thing for me was I used to look up at the billboards in Las Vegas. And be like, wow, you know, Jerry Seinfeld and Robin Williams and Billy Crystal. And now I got my first billboard. I'm going to Las Vegas next week, and they have me up on the strip right now.
Very
cool.
Nice. Yeah. What hotels are you going to be in?
I'll be at the Tropicana for 14 shows.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's the week before Christmas, so a lot of people from all over the world are just coming to spend their last little Christmas money and stuff. It's a hub where once I, if I do well and kill it, right, they go back home to their private markets. And then when I come to Seattle and Phoenix and Huntington and all these areas, they're like, that's the guy. And they bring their community.
Right.
To, and that's, oh man, things are just starting to bubble.
That's literally how it goes though. Because once you find a comedian that you like, anytime they come to town, it's like, cause in Boston, there's only one comedy club, really, Laugh Factory.
Yeah.
And it's not Laugh Factory. It's called Laugh Boston.
Laugh Boston.
And it was like when I was in Boston, it was like when comedians from LA or wherever come, it's like a big deal. It's like, we got to go. Right, we got to go. Right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, where I'm moving to, they have an Indian casino there. And apparently there's pretty good acts coming there, you know, even though it's a kind of an obscure. So I will, I'll see if they have comedians coming in.
That'd be great.
I'll let you know.
Those casinos,
I'll
bring
this guy in, man.
Casinos have a nice budget and they like bringing in, especially comics. Like, because I wear a suit on stage now. Most of the time, unless or just kind of cool on stage. I used to just wear a hooded sweatshirt. This is the standard comedian outfit in
LA.
Hooded sweatshirt, notepad, and looking needy and homeless.
Yeah.
And I started dressing a little nicer. My jokes got better, and the stages got bigger and more beautiful, and my crowd started looking nicer. So we all kind of going. And so casinos love it because when they book a comedian, they don't just want Jeff Foxworthy because they think he's funny.
Right.
They want all those rednecks with an extra $100 in their back pocket to put it in the slot before they go home. So when Jeff comes, they may only sell 2,000 tickets at, let's say, $100 a ticket, but they'll pay him even more than the ticket sales because they're making more throughout the whole casino too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, cool. Maybe I'll arrange for you to come there because the funny thing is I haven't even been there. I was there twice. I didn't go into the casino. I was in Lincoln City. But from what I read, like, all the action is centered around that casino because there's not much else going on.
Right.
And they'll bring the big names there.
Yeah,
you're going to see the biggest.
Do,
yeah. They get 2,000 people in there every time in those casino shows.
Really? Wow.
And I've done a couple, but I haven't headlined Reno yet. The club I'm doing in Tropicana is a comedy club that holds 250, maybe 300. And they're going to do an 8:30 and a 10:30 show every night for 16. So we'll see how many shows I can sell out of that because you get a bonus each time you sell out every seat.
Yeah, one time, you strike gold this
time. Well, one time there was a comedian and there was 6 seats not sold out. So he wasn't going to qualify for his $300 bonus. Well, the tickets were $20 each. So he bought the 6 seats out of his own pocket for $120. And then they had to pay him the $300.
Right, goes,
that's how you do
that. Yeah.
I go, damn, there's some business to this. I didn't even realize all that.
What assholes.
Yeah, I know. It's like basically sold out just because 6 people didn't come. So he just bought those tickets himself.
Makes sense. Yep. So did you say you put out YouTube videos too?
Where every do you put single them week I do a YouTube video. That's my commitment to my fans. But it's on Kayvon Comedy on YouTube. Yeah, you just type it in. And some of the clips are some funny ones from my very first performances in stand-up.
Right.
And some of those are people's favorites because it's like the origin, but then mostly it's the recent ones that I just filmed last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice, man. Well, we are honored to have you. I mean,
you sound
like someone who really set out to do what you wanted to do, and you made it.
I finally made it.
Right.
And I'm here. That's how I know. I'm looking over Los Angeles on a cloudy day.
Yeah. Best view ever.
And your dad tells you that you see the city sun, one day it'll be yours.
That's right. One day you'll lose your money. Don't gamble. So the book, what I tell people, you can judge this book by the cover because it's Once You Go Persian, a survival guide from a half. So it tells you everything I learned. And so if you're dating a Middle Eastern, have a boss or something, then you get this for him for Christmas. And then on the back, Middle East people can't always afford everything they buy, so I had to return the suit. I couldn't. So I had to take it back to Nordstrom after the shirt. So help me so I can afford my next suit and pick up a few copies.
They do do that, right? They wear the clothes for one night for a wedding or something.
Take it back to Bloomingdale's.
Yep.
But they had to learn that from the Americans, I'm sure. You
yes,
know?
Yes, yes.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, come on. But at any because a lot of people take stuff back to Nordstrom and all that. You know?
I mean,
because
just don't shop there. Ball on a budget, bro.
Yeah.
Marshall's got it going on.
My dad always told me, he's like, if you're fat like me, you need a $500 suit. But if you have a good body, you can go to Marshall's.
There you go.
So I was like, I'm doing crunches to save money. I don't want to buy an $800 suit.
No, that's too
much. How's your extended family on the Persian side? A lot of people?
Yeah, lots.
A lot of
people,
right?
We did a Persian Thanksgiving this year. We had a full Thanksgiving dinner and then a full Persian dinner at the same time because no one could decide which one we should go with.
Oh man, that sounds so good though.
There was 30 people at the dinner table, well, the two dinner tables.
Persian food's good.
Yeah. And it was hard to decide. I'm like, oh, cranberry sauce turkey, oh, but I love that, you know, rice with that craisins, and I just was like double
Thanksgiving. But I bet you packed a nice little to-go package.
Yeah, we called it Thanksgiving.
Thanks, God.
Thanks, God.
All right, everybody. Kayvon, thank you again for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And you're welcome back anytime. Much continued success to you. I mean, you obviously are on the right path. And you're young, right? In your 30s?
That's right. Still in my 30s. So hurry up before I pass that next line.
Right. How are you, like, married or anything?
I'm still single as of right now. So act now.
Yeah, act now.
Offer ends soon.
Yeah. don't let him get away. All right, everybody. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Danny.
You're welcome.
See you, everybody, on Monday.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.